The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good evening and welcome to Between the Lines. I am your host, Jennifer Harrison, and the founder of Victims Rights New York. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I had to run into the studio after hitting traffic tonight. So thank you for joining us. Tonight we are going to change it up a little bit. Normally we read into legislation. And tonight I want to hit back a little bit harder about some of the events that have been going on. So to help us with that, we have Michael Simonelli. Michael, can you introduce yourself, please?
I sure can. Thank you very much, Jennifer. Appreciate the invite. Second time here, first time in person, and I appreciate everything you do, helping fight for people to get justice here in New York and nationwide. If you want to know more about me, right, okay. I'm a retired Army veteran, 30 years in the military, fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, did 22 years with the police department, and been pretty active trying to stop what is coming into our schools, some bad stuff coming down from New York State Education Department. So I've been working on that with local patriot groups, Save Our Schools as well.
And we appreciate everything that you're doing on all of the different fronts, Michael. So tonight I wanted to hit back about a little bit of the hypocrisy that we've seen. You are also the author of a book, Justified Deadly Force and the Myth of Systemic Racism, which actually came out at the perfect time. Sorry, regarding, you know, right around the George Floyd death. And not a lot of people know or were aware that the year before that, only 9 unarmed black men were killed by police officers, while 47 police officers were killed in the line of duty. So the myth that they were perpetuating in the media kind of didn't make any sense. But of course, we didn't hear that. And that's what your book gets into.
Absolutely, it does, yes. In fact, before George Floyd happened, I had done my master's thesis on media bias in deadly police shootings. And it's that media bias which gives people the perception that police are shooting unarmed black people every day, because that's all you ever hear about in the news. When in fact, obviously, as you mentioned, officers are being killed a lot more than any unarmed people are. And white people are shot at a rate of 2 to 1 killed by the police justifiably. That's the other caveat you have to talk about when you talk about police shootings. 95% of the subjects that are involved are armed with a weapon. And that 5% that aren't armed are trying to run the police over. They're in the presence of an armed person. They are next to somebody that's armed. They're using their hand weapons to attack the officer. They're high and in the middle of a crime. So these aren't just your average people walking the street that are getting shot by the cop.
And the media perpetuated these lies, as you go into your book as well, right?
Absolutely, yes. In fact, I did a 4-year study showing the USA Today front page newspaper. And of the, I think there was 3,668 people shot by the police during those 4 years. About 1,880 were white, 948 were black. During those 4 years, the front page of USA Today highlighted 87 front page stories naming 50-something black victims a total of 132 times and one white person once. And I shouldn't say victim, I should say subjects, because the majority of these shootings are justified.
Right. So now we're seeing a totally different perpetuation and fraud against the New Yorkers and the American people. Right. Sadly, as you know, and very tragically, 10 people lost their lives in Buffalo recently by a shooter, at the hands of a shooter. And it was, it was based on racism, based on his manifesto.
Right.
But there are so many, and you know, as a survivor of a homicide victim myself, I completely understand what those families are going through. My heart goes out to them. They're never going to get over this. I understand that. But I also will never stand for pandering politicians to jump on a bandwagon and use victims to perpetuate a false narrative based on their own agenda. And that's what we're seeing happen.
Absolutely. The agenda you're seeing is there are people using race to divide our country. They keep on referring back to days of slavery all the way through now as if nothing has changed since then. And we have two great recent examples that we can use to compare how the politicians, the press are reacting. But first, let me caveat everything by saying, as you mentioned, this was a heinous murderer who picked people by their color. That's racist. He obviously will be, well, there's going to be a trial. We have to go through our process, but he live screened it or streamed the shooting. He has the weapon on him, caught in the commission of the crime by the cops, many eyewitnesses. So it's a done deal. He'll be found guilty. And as Congressman and running for governor Lee Zeldin is pushing for the death penalty, when he becomes governor, he can hopefully get that reinstated. That's what should happen. Otherwise, the feds can try to use some federal charges to go for the death penalty there. That being said, two recent things that we can use to compare. You have Waukesha. Was it November 21st, 2021? Darryl Brooks ran over 60 people in the Christmas parade in Waukesha, killing six. And he himself had racist comments in his social media. For instance, he had praised Hitler. He backed the BLM, which has committed a lot of violent acts against people of all colors, destroyed businesses, and called for violence against white people. He said, the old white people, too. Knock them the F out, period. Now, there was no statements by politicians about, you know, racism being involved there, even though he was black and the victims were all white. Then more recently here in New York, you have the subway shooting,
right,
where Frank James obviously planned. He had a gas mask, gas canisters.
And Frank James was a black nationalist.
Exactly, he was. And what's funny is you had the politicians, they were like, Governor Hochul, her statement was, we say no more mass shootings, no more disrupting lives. And then Senator Schumer, Representative Nadler, Senator Gillibrand, Representative Jeffries, they all said, we're closely monitoring the situation, as did Biden. They were monitoring it, and as soon as it came out that it was a black nationalist, they shut their mics off. They had no further comments.
And it's only by the grace of God that there were no fatalities in that incident.
A miracle. Mm-hmm. I think 10 people shot, not a single fatality, 5 critically injured. I think around 20-something injured from the smoke, the panic. But yeah, that was a complete miracle.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we're talking about hypocrisy and, you know, how quickly they are to call it out when based on a racial agenda and their need to divide the country further, which is blatantly disgusting, to be honest with you. But I want to go into the fact that, you know, Kathy Hochul also today had a press conference and only had a moment of silence in that press conference to honor those who have lost their lives to gun violence. Mm-hmm. And then she continued to say, because it doesn't matter how anyone lost their lives, all that matters is that they lost them. So I don't understand how she could make a statement like that and isolate gun victims and not stabbing victims, you know, people that have been pushed in front of the subway. So it just goes to show their narrative. This is all about race. This is all about dividing the country and taking away guns. Do you feel that way too?
Absolutely. Yes. It's 100% right on target. It doesn't fit the narrative, so they don't talk about it. They ignore it. The press ignores it. The press doesn't press the issue. And so it's as if it never happened for people who aren't really big in following current events.
Right. And then in that same press conference, she also failed to announce the fact that, you know, there are many issues surrounding this case. This kid was troubled. We know he was troubled because he, in fact, threatened to shoot up his school and kill his classmates previously. He was charged with that, I believe, and then was allowed or subjected to a mental evaluation, after which the charges were dropped.
Right.
So now, instead of finding out who is to blame, how he got released, who performed that mental evaluation, sorry, running in pollen tonight, sorry guys, why he was never red flagged, how he got this gun, and where his parents were.
Right.
In all of this.
Yeah, what they're saying is he did a day and a half in the mental health institution to get the evaluation, and the result of what he had said and what they saw did not bring him up to the red flag level. So when he went to get a firearm, there was nothing flagging him to say, no, he shouldn't get one, which is a tragedy, obviously, because now we see what happened. But what you're also, you don't really hear so much, and I had to dig this out of different pieces of articles. This is directly a result of how they are dividing us and pushing a narrative. Because two of the things referenced in two different articles, one is written on his rifle is Virginia Sorensen. She's one of the victims of the Waukesha parade killing. So that shows that he knew about it. He's getting retribution for her. that, which is absolutely wrong, but this is that's a result. Just as you had Mika Xavier Johnson in 2017, he was so enraged by the media's portrayal of the police shootings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile that he went and executed 5 Dallas police officers as they were working a parade for BLM. He also had mental illness. The two people we mentioned before in Waukesha, Darryl Brooks, had mental illness. Frank James from the Brooklyn subway shooter, mm-hmm. mental illness. This young man, also mental illness. And he had a conversation with somebody in the store the day before. They've said, like 90 minutes, they talked to him. And one of the things that he brought up was critical race theory. So you see the constant bombardment by the media, by people in politics, in the schools, is teaching white people, you're the devil, you know, everybody's out to get you. I see even in the coverage of the shooting, they're going after Tucker Carlson about pushing this white replacement theory.
Right.
So I did a quick search, and you can see I have articles going back to 2012 from Business Insider, the title, Census, Whites Will Become a Minority in the U.S. by 2043. Then in 2018, the Brookings Institute, the U.S. will become minority white in 2045, Census projects. You have in 2019, Chicago Reporter, the U.S. white majority will soon disappear forever. 2020, NBC News, Census shows white decline, non-white majority among youngest Americans. It goes on and on.
And none of these are right-wing publications or outlets.
Absolutely not. You CNN, even in 2021, white supremacy with a tan, saying how the whites are going to be outnumbered, but then they are going to take in other ethnicities the way they took in the Irish and the Italian. That, like, for instance, now I'm considered white, even though when my ancestors came here, they were not considered white, and they were treated very badly, as many immigrants were of all different races. So that's something that's actively being pushed by all the media.
It's, right, so and it's their playbook is always to deny and deflect, it seems, right? And deflection is key in this. So instead of acknowledging the fact that, you know, this kid's do we know, because I've been looking, actually, you and I spoke about this, do we know if his first threat of terrorism was based on race by any chance?
No, it was a school project, and I believe it was, what is your ambition, what do you want to do in the future? And he said he wanted to commit a murder or suicide. And so,
not kill black people,
no,
not kill,
say,
you know, any
didn't
any
mention anything
race,
about so. Race in that.
It was okay.
Just, yeah.
So this kid isn't just, you know, a known racist. This is something that hasn't ever been mentioned before this event, and this manifesto came up. And a lot of his close family members are saying that nobody in his family is racist. They don't understand where this came from. Right. And they are suspicious that it actually stems from the isolation of the pandemic. Right. So isn't it ironic that you have the Democrats that shut us down and kept us isolated, right?
Yes.
You have the Democrats that pushed for bail reform, passed bail reform, right, that now protects people that make terroristic threats,
right,
you know, from having to post bail. So it's their policies that are actually enabling all of this.
It absolutely is. And I'll tell you what's even worse is it's enabling in the schools. Now, you know, they're run, but the Democrats are running the schools, New York State Education Department. Let me give you an example of what all our children can expect to be taught. This is them quoting, they say, critical race theory teaches that racism is baked into Americans' institutions like the criminal justice system. That's the definition.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chancellor of the Regents, Dr. Lester Young, says, unequivocally, what the Regents are trying to do is not critical race theory. Then the New York State Board of Regents puts out its framework on diversity, equity, and inclusion in New York schools, a call for action. This is dated April 12, 2021. Anyone can see it online. Here's this quote. Finally, we appear ready to address our long history of racism and bigotry and the corrosive impact they have had on every facet of American life. A confluence of events has brought us to this point of reckoning, including the senseless, brutal killing of black and brown men and women at the hands of law enforcement and the ensuing demands for real and enduring racial justice in the face of this inhumanity. These national tragedies have combined to create a perfect storm, a storm that is powerful enough to propel us beyond the systemic racism that has come to define America's institutions. This systemic racism pervades all aspects of our lives, including policing, education, healthcare, employment, housing, access to capital, and in almost every other conceivable realm. He gave you what the definition was, said they're not doing it, and then he just exactly said what they're doing is
right. And then and the Democrats are the ones that are pushing, you know, equity and all of these 100%. Teachings and education. So I mean, it baffles me that the same people that are anti-gun violence and anti-hate, you know, are standing up there and pandering and politically grandstanding while they're, you know, they're really just making baseless accusations, right, and not focusing on the real issues at hand. It's not gun violence. It's criminals that they continuously let out of jail.
Right.
And then they say that, you know, we have to stop the hate. We have to stop racism. White supremacy is an issue. But then at the youngest of ages, they want to instill hate and division.
And racism. Yes. That's exactly what they're doing. They're instilling racism. If you look on the New York State Education Department's website, they have a few links to Learning for Justice, which has many different articles on there about whiteness, the weaponization of whiteness, white fragility, what is your responsibility, children fail when black teachers aren't supported, just blatant out-and-out racism.
It's insane. In case you're just tuning in, this is Jennifer Harrison. I'm your host of Between the Lines and also founder of Victims' Rights New York. And we are joined by Mike Simonelli, who is the Sergeant at Arms at the Suffolk County PBA. He's also a veteran. He was in the Air Force and served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the author of The Justified Deadly Force and the Myth Against Systemic Racism. Mike, thanks again for joining us tonight. I'm so glad that we're having this discussion because really this is about an agenda.
Right.
To divide and conquer, hoping to deny and deflect,
right,
and also take away our guns. And the bottom line is that this wasn't about, yes, this kid targeted these victims based on the color of their skin, but he didn't belong to some white supremacy group,
no.
The KKK, you know. His parents weren't racist. This wasn't something that was instilled in him. It might not necessarily be a problem across America. You know, this is an individual that carried out this hateful and horrific act, and no gun legislation would have prevented this crime from happening.
No, you're right. It's not a gun issue. It's a criminal issue. It's a mental health issue. We've seen that with most of the police shootings that I'm talking about. The unarmed people that the police have shot, I think it is 50% are fighting some kind of mental illness. You can tell if it comes from their family admitting it or things that they have said. And about 25 are suicide by cop. They are purposely putting themselves in front, you know, forcing the cops to shoot them by making believe they're armed.
Right.
And the same thing, high numbers with the felonious murders of cops. The people murdering the cops have a high rate of mental illness. Around 30% of those that murdered our cops in the last 2 years, and the 108 in 2019 and 2020, were mentally ill, and about 15% of them wanted suicide by cop, like try to get killed after they killed the cop.
And it's well worth noting that we also have a major shortage of mental health beds in New York State, that actually Governor Cuomo started closing down psychiatric facilities. Kathy Hochul hasn't done anything to really start, you know, reinstitute the amount of beds that we need to address these situations,
right,
by any means.
And it obviously hasn't been taken care of with the Thrive New York City, which I think over $2 billion was spent. And they have, I think I heard of one $50 million facility that only had one or two patients the entire time it's been opened.
Well, I mean, that's another thing, too. They talk about funding and you know, we need to defund the police and reappropriate this and reappropriate that. But
right.
We have all these nonprofits and these agencies.
Right.
That are spending millions and trillions of dollars, taxpayer dollars.
Yes.
And there's no checks and balances. There has never been an audit of Thrive NYC. Nobody knows where that money went, right?
Right.
800, how much was it, Michael?
I think close to $2 billion.
Okay. That's a lot to swallow, right?
I mean, I'm
glad that I work for that, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
For
New York, like,
the De Blasio's to enjoy the rest of their lives happily.
Yeah.
With private security, I might add, and defunding the police.
Right.
And then we have prison to shelter pipelines. I mean, there are all kinds of homeless shelters that are not fulfilling their duties, and they're never audited and they're never investigated.
No, it's like a two-tiered system of justice. You know, some people can do whatever they want. Politicians, you know, people with connections, and they're not going to be held accountable. Like Charlene McRae, who ran the whole Thrive program, obviously there'll never be any accountability on her.
Right.
No.
Right. Michael, we're going to head to a break, but where can people buy your book?
They can go to jdfinformation.com. It's a website that follows on the book, and there's a you can purchase it there. You could also Google it online. You'll find it at Amazon bookstores and other online bookstores for those who don't want to shop through Amazon.
Awesome. So Mike Simonelli will be back with us after the break. He's going to stay with us for the whole show. I want to thank you for your patience. I hit traffic, had to run in, was out of breath. There's pollen everywhere, so I had a little bit of pollen in my system. But we are okay now, and we will be right back after this commercial break to discuss more about the Buffalo shooting and the hypocrisy of the media. Down in a dead man's town, the first kicker took us when I hit the ground. End up like a dog. I am Jennifer Harrison, host of Between the Lines and Harrison Hits Back right here on LI News Radio. I am also the founder of Victims Rights New York, which is a political action committee dedicated to giving victims a voice in politics, as well as restoring common sense in government, which is seriously lacking these days. And I really want to thank Holiday Productions, which is a great company, also giving back to the community in so many different ways. So please check them out on Facebook under Holiday Productions or call 631-461-7777. Joining us again tonight is Mike Simonelli, who is a veteran that served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He is a sergeant of arms at Suffolk County PBA and the author of Justified Deadly Force and the Myth of Systemic Racism. Mike, before the break, we were discussing the Buffalo shooting. And that while our hearts are so broken, we, you know, everybody agrees on this.
Absolutely.
It is also extremely tragic to watch pandering politicians jump up and use this as a tool to further divide us.
Right.
I mean, Joe Biden went to Buffalo. You mentioned before he didn't go to Waukesha when so many were injured during a Christmas parade.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't travel to Brooklyn when a black nationalist shot up a subway station in a planned attack that only by the grace of God had no fatalities. And is Joe Biden really the person who should be attending something like this, talking about white supremacy and vilifying anybody who benefits from any kind of hateful speech, when Joe Biden is the one who eulogized Robert Byrd, who was very high up in the KKK?
Right. How quickly we forget their misdeeds, right?
I don't forget.
No. Well, they forget. They seem to think that anything they did in the past doesn't matter because they're Democrats and the media won't hold them to account for it. You know, or his miscues. I think he said something about you can't walk into a 7-Eleven without hitting an Indian or something. And then the things he had said when President Obama, he was running with him. Just the first well-dressed, well-spoken black man or something. Just ridiculously racist things that came out of his mouth. And the stupid things that he said outside of that, like saying the police should shoot people's legs when Jacob Blake was in the hospital after being justifiably shot because he was going for a knife or he had a knife and he was about to drive off with young children in the car, that the mother was frantic, you know, he's going to kidnap them.
Right.
What does Joe Biden do? He interjects himself in that because, you know, it's part of their agenda. It looks like, oh, police shoot a black person. Must be police wrong. The black person who's a criminal who had just sexually assaulted her, I think, a week prior. He must be right. Yeah.
Right. Instead of asking for calm and waiting for the investigation to be complete and all of the facts to be present, he jumped to the conclusion
and participated
in the political grandstanding that we're talking about.
Yep.
Kathy Hochul had a big press conference today, actually like maybe about an hour before we came in here, announcing a domestic terrorism unit and more programs to end gun violence, but she failed to fix the part of bail reform that protects those that make terroristic threats. She spoke about the hard-working people of the community that have been affected by this tragedy, but still the budget that she just worked on and had passed only reimburses families of murder victims for $6,000 for a funeral, and we all know that funerals cost a lot more than that. The average funeral is about $12,000.
Right.
And Ray Tierney, our Suffolk County District Attorney, asked her for funding for ShotSpotter technology, you know, being that this is a gun violence issue, right? They all want to stop gun violence.
Right.
But we see an uptick in gun crimes here in Suffolk County, as you know more than anybody. But instead, she's giving that money to the Buffalo Bills.
Why would she be giving it to the Buffalo Bills? Does her husband have something to do with the Buffalo Bills team or something like that?
This is what happens when your state is run by an incompetent, corrupt criminal enterprise, Mike. You know that, and I know that. And as we discussed before, there are so many issues that are surrounding this case that could help prevent further tragedies that are being ignored while they pursue and push a false narrative. And we're being distracted from these issues. We have crime, we have fentanyl. You want to talk about gun control and gun violence. How do we prevent gun violence when we have guns and God knows what else coming in from the border? I mean, we have right. way too many elected officials that still want to defund and prosecute or vilify the police. We have right. Ukraine, Afghanistan, the pandemic, shutdowns, which some of that might have led to this incident
Absolutely,
we're hearing.
Right.
Silencing free speech and political opponents. Now families can't even get formula for their babies, but let's distract with this issue, right? As many issues as we can, deny and deflect to right. avoid accountability. But how many hits can we take, and where do you see this ending?
I see this ending when we elect different people. When you get real conservatives in there, not rhinos, not Democrats, but real conservatives, real Republicans. So that's the only way it's going to end. And I think Lee Zeldin is the last hope for New York. If he doesn't win, like, I think New York City is getting so bad that the people hopefully will wake up and realize, hey, we really have to change things. Because just today, Manhattan Institute came out with a study on the 2020 homicides. That was the biggest single spike in history that they've been keeping records of homicide increases. I think it was around 30%. And what they found was counties that had higher GOP registered voters had lower spikes in the homicide. And they also had lower rates of homicide before that. So it does make a difference. These policies, defund the police, are being pushed by Democrats. It was Democrat cities that looked like third world hellholes. In Seattle, they had the chop zone. I think Portland had some spots. Even in Georgia, after the Rayshard Brooks, his shooting, he tried to tase the mm-hmm. cop. They did some no-go zones, not letting police or anybody else in there. It's like a third world country where other minorities ended up getting killed while it was under the control of not just gangs.
Right.
Really.
It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, they're, I call them the Merry Band of Idiots in Albany. And we actually had on Twitter today, Senator Meary, who is probably the leader of the Merry Band of Idiots in Albany, okay, talking about white supremacy. And if you're going to come to our communities, don't come unless you have an axe to chop that tree. Oh, white supremacy comes in strange fruits of a tree. And if you're going to come to our community, don't come unless you have an axe to chop that tree down. Well, I just wonder, Senator Meary, Do the strange fruits of white supremacy look like elected officials that are pushing for policies and passing legislation
right.
that increase crime, release repeat violent offenders and recidivists into black communities, increasing crime in black communities, and committing what's called by some of these members of black communities a genocide?
Right. Crime, homicide in America is mostly intra-racial. So black people kill black people, white people kill white people. So when you are being soft on violent criminals, if they're black and you're letting them back into their community, they're going to victimize black people. So you're not doing them any favor.
And drive away black businesses, black owned
Absolutely,
businesses.
Right. Yes. And you see that with the rioting and the looting. That's what happens. But I'd like to know from all these politicians and talking heads, when they talk about America being so white supremacist, what do they know that the 250,000 mostly black and brown people that sneak into our country every month don't know? Because they're running from actual oppression, from actual police violence, from actual just danger, the hellhole that they tried to right. say America is now. And obviously it's not, because humans are very smart. They have a very strong survival instinct. Those people are not going to risk their lives to make a journey to come here if this is a dangerous place because they're black or brown.
But some of them are coming to these communities that are being inadvertently affected by these policies, and they're complaining that they made this dangerous journey, even with their children, right. and now they're not safe here.
Case
in
point.
Where they thought was the safest place in the world.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And you know what? You said, how's this going to end? And I said, when different people get elected, well, it's also going to be when they have polling that shows that these immigrants that are coming here illegally, they're not going to vote Democrat.
No, they're going to vote conservative.
Right. If we ever gave them the chance, which I don't agree with giving illegal people that right.
right.
But that would be the only way that the Dems would stop this.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Right. Exactly.
Talk about replacement. I don't want to say that. So now let's talk about, because we said that they blamed Tucker Carlson for
right.
all of this too, and
right.
replacement theory and
yes.
whatnot. But we know that a huge part of the problem is the media and their hypocrisy. You know, we have so-called journalists who do not even attempt to hide their bias.
No.
And everyone focuses on CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox on the right.
Right.
While right here in New York, we have reporters like Errol Lewis from Spectrum, who is well-known and, you know, he's well-liked. He's pretty esteemed. Amongst anyone who follows New York State and New York City politics. But Errol Lewis perpetuates lies about progressive agendas and politicians, and, you know, in the way of support of people like Alvin Bragg, and supports other progressives that implement policies and the laws that we talked about that destroy minority communities. Now, Errol Lewis gets on his soapbox every chance that he gets to promote ending mass incarceration through blanket release mandates like bail reform, less is more, which is proving to be even deadlier than bail reform,
right.
Pushing for elder parole, which would release serial killers like the Son of Sam. He's always talking about rehabilitation, okay?
Right.
Which is another issue, because rehabilitation simply does not exist in this state. We incarcerate and then we release, but that's a subject for a different show. As one of the biggest believers in this state for rehabilitation and second chances, Errol Lewis posted on social media information regarding prior arrests of one of my good friends, Sid Rosenberg, who is a radio host, a well-known and very popular radio host,
right.
during his darkest days battling addiction. Now, why would Errol Lewis, in the media, with all of his beliefs of rehabilitation and second chances, go after other personalities like Sid Rosenberg by posting this history of addiction? Meanwhile, Sid is in recovery for a very long time, is a very productive member of society,
right.
and probably one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet, by the way. And this is the kind of thing that hopefully it won't, but that could really set somebody back
Absolutely.
Battling this disease
right.
into a relapse.
Right.
And Errol Lewis knows this. This goes way too far. Just because Sid has a history, everybody has a past and a history
right.
and things that we're not proud of. But Sid believes that violent offenders should be behind bars. That does not warrant bringing up his past or his battle with addiction, especially when Errol Lewis is a supporter of clean slate and second chances that would allow child abusers, Mike, and murderers to pretend that they never committed such crimes. But these kinds of people with this kind of platform see absolutely nothing wrong with what they do.
No. Well, he's a complete hypocrite. He's a phony. How do you say that it's okay for violent criminals, child molesters, abusers to be given a second chance and act as if it never happened, this clean slate? But you're going to call somebody out on their addiction, which many people say is a mental health issue. That's absolutely, it's disgusting, hypocrisy. And it shows that the left is really not the party of kindness and caring that they propose to be. Just like how they act like they're the party of the black people, when in fact they were the ones that were always behind slavery and fought against the ending of it and the equal rights as well. They just co-opted the movement once they saw that was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And just like I mentioned before, we saw Joe Biden come to
right,
Buffalo
right.
and jump on this bandwagon
exactly.
and use victims to, you know, perpetuate some kind of agenda and narrative, which
right.
is disgusting as well. But he was the one that wrote the 1994 crime bill, resulting in a lot of mass incarceration. And now all of a sudden, his criminal justice agenda reflects and mirrors every example of what not to do that we're seeing here in New York and in every Democrat-run city and state across the country.
Exactly. And that's why their people are fleeing. And I think California and New York have lost around 300,000 people each. And those people are going to red states. They're going to Colorado, to Florida, to places where the law is respected, the police are asked to do their job, given the ability to do their job, and people feel safe. You know, if you don't have safety and security, you don't have anything. And very quickly, we see how society devolves into absolute chaos, as we saw in the summer of love, 2020. And there's long-lasting ramifications from that. And the party that tries to say they're for the minorities, well, in that increase that I spoke of in the homicides in 2020, that study from Manhattan Institute showed that the increase wasn't equal across races. That 30% across the country, well, it was a 34% increase for black people getting killed, and it was 19% for non-white, non-Hispanic whites. So the people that they act like they're trying to do favors for with this defund the police movement, all these reforms, they're getting victimized even more.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it reverts back to all of these policies that these people, you know, Kathy Hochul got on a pedestal today and announced that there's going to be a revampment, or I think she tried to announce that a new unit, but we found out from Jared Gandolfo that it actually already existed, and what the domestic terrorism unit in New York State was established in 2020, but never utilized.
Right.
So, you know, her big announcement wasn't really anything that's new.
Right.
And then, you know, and to push for more gun legislation to prevent gun violence. But if you look at the statistics too, I mean, there's tons of gang violence in Buffalo, in Rochester, right, in Troy. We're seeing it across the state. In New York City, we're seeing it. Here in Suffolk County, we're seeing it,
right,
Mike. So, I mean, you know, how is more gun legislation going to prevent the illegal guns and the people that are committing the crimes with them?
It's not. The only way you're going to stop it is putting those people that commit the crimes in jail so they can't come out and do it again. I can't tell you how many cops talk to me and tell me their frustrations of how they're locking legitimate bad guys up on gun collars, and next day, a couple days later, they see that person out. Same thing with felony drugs that these people are selling and also having guns, and they're getting out within days and they're just doing it again. Like, what are you talking about? There is no accountability. It's absolutely disgusting. And then if the cop, God forbid, has to use some kind of force, somebody gets it on camera, they make an allegation, then that, you know, that cop is going to be suspended, being brought through the ringer. Everything is backwards right now.
It is backwards. And I just want to remind everybody that Kathy Hochul, you know, made a big stink about her 10-point plan that she wanted to put in the budget to address these issues and fix the crime increase in New York State. And none of them really were implemented in the budget. There were minor fixes to bail reform, but they're not going to do anything to address any of these issues.
No, nothing to address the root causes of the inner city violence. Because when you talk about the shootings that we see in New York City and the same thing in Chicago, 90% of those shootings are black or brown people on black or brown. So if you want to stop it, you need to focus on what are those root causes. Now, white supremacy is the big catchword for them. I know in her first press conference on this shooting, which is absolutely disgusting tragedy, and I hope he gets the death sentence, she must have said white supremacist 30 times. I think, okay, we get it. We get what his motive was, what his, you know, his agenda, what he said. But
isn't she kind of doing his evil work for him? Aren't they all kind of doing his evil work for him by pushing this hate and division even further? Like, to me, I don't think, yes, we should let people know why he did this, but right, to me, we shouldn't mention his name. We shouldn't mention his agenda, anything about his manifesto. Just let him rot in jail.
Well, what they're doing is they're perpetuating the race war that they want. And you have low information people and mentally ill people. 5% of the American population in 2020 had a serious mental illness. That's serious. So just regular mental illness was about 20%. So 5%, that's about 14 million people. So think of all those people that are very susceptible to hearing the wrong thing from somebody in power, seeing it in a paper. They'll catch on to it and be like, you know what? I'm going to get revenge for that.
Right. Like he did.
Like he did, like the Mika Xavier Johnson who shot those five cops. He said while they were negotiating, trying to get him to surrender, he said, I want to kill black people, especially, I want to kill white people,
right,
especially white officers.
It's insane. And now, you know, before we got here, we were talking and I sent you a picture of the, you know, the graphics of the 2020 mass shooters. And
right,
I'm going to post this on the Between the Lines Facebook page. They don't all look like white supremacists to me.
They could be identifying as white supremacists.
Oh, jeez. That's another show again, Mike. We're not going to get into that right now.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a pretty diverse group of people.
Right.
There are a lot of people on there. A lot of them are black and brown.
Right.
Some of them are white. But I just, you know, this has to stop. And we all need to unite and do our research and our due diligence and not just, you know, listen to everything, every headline that we hear or see on the media, because this is getting absolutely ridiculous.
Right. Well, we're being led by evil people and idiots. And until we can change that.
The merry band of idiots.
You're right. The merry band of idiots. Until we can change that, then nothing good is going to happen. And the people need to rise up within their communities and elect different people. They need to see the truth and you know, what they're being fed is a lie.
Yeah, and research independent journalists, because I just want you to reiterate the statistics of the, you know, the myth of systemic racism that the media portrayed.
It was 132 stories about blacks shot by the police compared to one about whites shot by the police in 4 years, front page headlines of USA Today, while whites are shot at a rate of 2 to 1 compared to blacks. So just think about that. Every story was about a black person and they threw one white person into it.
Right. Michael, thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Soldier, fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, retired police officer, now the sergeant of arms at the Suffolk County PBA, and the author of Justified Deadly Force and the Myth of Systemic Racism. Mike, tell everybody again where they can find your book, please.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. JDFinformation.com.
And what can people do? Can they look you up anywhere to find out more information?
Yeah, they can just Google me. The book will come up, Justified Deadly Force, Mike Simonelli. And you get on that website. It's kept updated, and you can learn a lot.
Awesome. Thank you again for joining me tonight. I will be back with you all next week on Between the Lines from 6 to 7 p.m., hopefully not hitting traffic and not pollen infested. Make sure you follow our Facebook page and keep checking the website victimsrightsnypac.com to stay up to date on all these issues or donate. Thank you, and I cannot wait to talk to you again next week or hopefully soon in another time slot as well.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.